Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
An Erio's original.
In some ways, fashion has been waiting for this moment, right? Like, everyone has always wanted to do apocalypse or post-apocalypse fashion. So, like, careful what you wish for, but here we are.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. Today, we have a great guest. I am so excited to interview Little Miss Hot Mess. How's your quar-quar?
My quarantine. I'm kind of in that phase where I'm like settled into it. Like,
yeah.
It's like when you're sick and you don't really want to go back to work and you don't really want to go back to real life.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
You know, I'm gardening.
Oh, okay.
I'm watching a lot of TV. You know, it's cute.
What are you watching?
I just finished Making the Cut. I know I'm a little behind on that.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
Oh, it's good. Naomi Campbell is like beyond.
I love her.
I thought I loved her, and now I love her even more than I ever could have imagined.
Well, you know, I have always loved her. I mean, I have always loved her, and then I thought I couldn't love her anymore when she had took that, wiped down all of her tray table and like
yes.
everything, like, when she sanitized her whole like living area with a towel, and then like, I mean, I always really admired her, like just because of mm-hmm. her beauty, and I mean always since the 90s, since like Versace and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like just all that she's about. I mean, as a woman of color, as a model,
totally.
As like an icon, and from the 90s, you know, she's everything. But like, you know. She's just so incredible.
She's so incredible. And watching her and Heidi Klum basically like shop on TV, like I would watch a whole TV show of just that. They're beautiful. They're so funny. It's really great.
That's cool. Okay, I'll watch that.
Yeah. And Mrs. America. That's my other big one.
Oh, that looks cool. That looks really cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like feminists arguing. It's like the feminist debate television show we've always wanted and never gotten, you know?
Oh, okay. So you like to watch some women. You like some herstory.
I like a little bit of herstory and a little historical.
You
cosplay.
Like some women's television.
I do. But it's so interesting because it's really like the history of the women's liberation movement and like Phyllis Schlafly
yeah.
just being this total mom, psycho,
psychotic, crazy.
Crazy.
Does it show the pie in her face? Oh, no, that's Anita Bryant.
No, we haven't gotten Anita Bryant yet. I don't know if we'll get to her, but it's wild.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's great. So then, I have been like, I actually have doing, my television has been real male, actually.
Oh,
I've been real like, I've been, instead of watching Herstory, I've been watching Himstory.
History.
Because like so I can't focus, like my focus
same.
Have been real like off, so like I've had to like simplify because I was like I can't binge like normal, like so I can't
right.
like read or like I can't focus on like normally like what I can normally watch on TV, and so I've had to simplify. So I couldn't handle like color television. So like I had to go back to like black and white, and then like
yes.
I couldn't handle like complex shit. So I had to go back
right.
to like film noir, and then I'm like I can't handle anything before 1950. So I had to go back to like Fritz Lang. So then I was like, you know what? God. I have to go farther back. And so I'm like, you know what? Let's just go to On the Waterfront. No, let's just go back to Fritz Lang. No, let's look. I need to get back to, let's just start with Peter Lorre. Okay, girl. Let's go to Gloria Swanson. Like, I need to just go real far back. Like, it's very, it's like, I need silent film and black and white, like German expressionism, because I need simple pictures and black and white, like, because it's like, she's getting real simple, and it needs to be like real structured, because I can't focus.
I hear you. Yeah, back to basics, like the basic, most basic of the basics. Really.
Like, I need a woodcut. Like, I'm like real simple. Like, she, it's like the ADD, like, simple, just give me some, like, potato print cards, because I can't, you know what, she can't.
I know. Yeah, give me a real newspaper, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get me off the goddamn phone for a second.
Because it's too hard, because I think, my focus is really off. My, I think my absorption of facts and, like, story is very off. I can't deal with like news or really social media. It's just too much information, and I'm very, it's like, I think it, like, the news cycle, it makes me panic too much.
Yep.
And it sets me worrying. Like, I don't want to be in that place.
100%. Yeah. Although I will say, I just finished it, but I was reading the diaries of Lou Sullivan, which I don't know if you've heard of him. Mm-mm. Or his book, but he was kind of one of the first out trans men, mm-hmm. And one of the first out gay trans men. And they just published his like diaries from when he was a kid to when he died of AIDS in mm-hmm. the early 90s. And I was reading them in the bathtub, and it felt like he was like my coronavirus boyfriend. Mm. And I mean, it's like, it's heavy, but it's reading someone else's life, you know, really from start to finish, and like, was very calming. Wow. So, like, you know, it's not complex narrative, but there's still so much depth there.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. That sounds great. Yeah. I mean, I think that's good.
A little bit of romance.
Well, like, reading, I think, would be really, like, a good thing. Like, autobiography is probably a good thing to do. Like, single narrative would mm-hmm. probably be the right way to go. As opposed mm-hmm. to anything truly dense, like mm-hmm. I think that anything like that's too much like too much plot, other than one person, would be a little bit much for me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
anything else is
easy breezy first person. Yeah.
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 Like single person narrative story arc, I think I could handle. But like the conspiracy, all of the craziness going on, I'm just too, I'm too fearful and too much in a place of like terror to comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
So are you in, where are you? Are you in New York?
I'm in LA.
Oh, you're in LA. Okay, you're in LA.
I'm in LA. Oh yeah, okay. Thank God.
Good.
No offense to New York, but
yeah.
We have sunshine. So.
Oh yeah, so that's why you're gardening.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So it's a little easier.
It's a little easier. Can go for a walk.
Oh, yeah.
I have a backyard. Yeah. I mean, it's heaven. LA, heaven.
It is. It is.
I could stand it not being 90 degrees right now, but other than that.
I mean, it's hot.
It's hot.
But maybe
not
it'll
to
burn
make
out.
I'm jealous.
It'll burn it away.
It'll burn it away. I know. Honestly, the saddest thing, too, is like, can we not have swimming pools all summer? Like, all summer.
Oh, right.
Right? I mean, because I'm a person, you know, I don't have a pool, so I have to hustle my way into pools. So I'm really good at the sort of sneak into hotels game, but I feel like now, you know, I just won't be able to blend in because there's no one there anymore. And the pool probably isn't even open.
Does it make it like, can you not go in a pool? I mean,
I think you can probably be in the pool. It's probably like being around the pool with other people because the pool has all the chemicals.
I mean, what? Does Miss Rona, can Miss Rona get in the pool? Does Miss Rona get drowned? Can you drown Miss Rona in the pool?
I hope so. I mean, maybe that'll be the next advice coming from our
Miss
ever
Rona.
Intellectual administration. Everyone get in the pool.
Rona, don't
pour a little more bleach in it and see what happens.
I mean, is Rona coming? Like, is Rona... Is that her name, Rona?
I mean, that is her name. I was going to say, I feel like she wears a one piece and maybe like, a, like actually in the Mrs. America, Phyllis Schlafly wears a really fierce, like flower bathing cap. And I feel like Rona would be doing something. Because she's not getting her hair wet. You know, she's going to get everyone else wet, but she's not getting her hair wet.
Oh, Rona. Right, so oh, I've really had it with Rona. I'm just so through with her, Miss Rona.
Bye, Rona.
Bye, girl. Bye, Rona.
Bye.
But it's just like, I mean, it's so like, yeah, the pool thing, I didn't even think about that because pools are basically, I mean, you're in somebody's mouth.
Right.
If you're in a pool, yes. You're in their nose
you're
and mouth.
In their mouth, all orifices, really.
Yeah, in their butthole
and their pee. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and their pee hole. Like, and you know, it's like the whole thing about coronavirus is like it really is about their like all of the orifices. It's all right. Their mouth, their eyes, their nose.
Right.
Just everything.
Leaking and receiving. Ooh.
I mean, it really is ooh. Like this weird. I don't know. Do you have a fierce mask?
I do have a fierce mask. I have a sequin mask. I have a Grace Jones print mask. I have a flamingo mask. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I got in on the mask game early when the artists started putting them out.
Oh, cute. Cute. Yeah. I have a good.
How about you?
I have a gimp. I have two. I have a yellow gimp. It's like vinyl yellow ooh. With a zipper. And then I have a black vinyl with a zipper. And then I have.
Like, so you can open it and talk through it?
Yeah. And then yes. I have like a liner that's like sort of like the like a paper liner for the inside. But then I have like a kind of a simple a throw on like a Paul Smith like a monkey like you know the Paul Smith oh, monkey ones yeah. Like those little cloth ones.
Cute.
And then I have a couple of colored ones. But I think yeah, like I feel like masks. I do want to have sort of an eye one, like a whole face. Like uh-huh. I might want to like modify some wrestler kind of to get so, sort yes. of like to get some eye protection too. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, I wear glasses most of the time, so like I feel like my eyes are covered. But
yeah.
But yeah, I've been thinking about getting like some of those real like face shield glasses.
I mean, let's just get real right. cute with it because I love any kind of like alternative accessory anyway. So we could just get mm-hmm. super fierce with like I love a futuristic like.
Yes.
Pull anything. So, yes. like, that's great.
Yeah, I think we're going to see masks, like, I mean, they already are the accessory, but I think we're going to see some real creativity soon.
Yeah.
I've already seen some great, like, you know, bedazzled, rhinestoned, everything. And ruffles and fringe.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Yes. Yes.
I have some good, like, face shields anyway that are, like, kind of, that, like, that sort of, like, the Asian, like, golf situation.
Oh, uh-huh.
So like I have
those.
That. So like I might add on some, you know, shit to put like onto it, you know.
Yes.
Let's just go
yes.
for it cuz I mean, right. we're inside anyway.
I mean, in some ways fashion has been waiting for this moment, right? Like everyone has always wanted to do apocalypse or post-apocalypse fashion. So like
right.
careful what you wish for, but here we are.
Well, I have always been in the interested in tech wear. I mean, that's kind uh-huh. of like always. I'm a little bit always on the fringe of a kind of a fanny pack Burning Man moment. Like I'm always about to bust out some goggles, yep. like and yep. out of my fanny pack. So
yep.
it is sidelining in my steampunk fantasy a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, because I have a sundial watch and I'm like I'm ready to go. Like, it's
yes.
like, I, you know, I could have a bat wing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I see it. Yeah. And like one of those little flight caps.
Yeah. Flight cap with my Chihuahua in my sidecar motorcycle.
Yes.
Like, it's like really about to happen. So it's like I could get real, like very, very steampunk real fast.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. It could be really
shoot.
Cute. It's so gross. It's like it's so gross. Gross but... It's so gross. It's like Jules Verne 2011 all like rolled in. It's like around the world in 80 days in 2011. It's really like very, very brown steampunk antique burnished copper 2011
exactly.
San Francisco.
Exactly.
It's
oh my God.
So gross. Yeah. So where does this like fit in? Like, cause you do like live performances and stuff, right?
I do. I mean, I was honestly taking a little bit of a break and focusing more on Drag Queen Story Hour for a while, which mm-hmm. was fun and also weird to like, yeah, go from like midnight shows to 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Yeah. shows at libraries.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we've been doing Drag Queen Story Hour for almost 5 years now. Mm-hmm. So it's been around the world, and we have chapters in all the big cities and a lot of the small towns across the country, and Tokyo mm-hmm. and Sweden and Mexico City. So it's really kind of taken off.
It's amazing. But it's kind of the same sort of thing, because in a lot of ways, it's like, it does incorporate the same kind of performance style. Like, it is playtime in the club. It's playtime in a Drag Queen Story Hour. It's the same storytelling. It's like the same skills. It's the same mm-hmm. drag. Mm-hmm. It's the same play.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's play, it's dress up, it's like getting an audience who may be skeptical or not have any clue what's going on, either because they're 2 years old or because they're 10 drinks down or whatever. Yeah. And it's like hooking them in, making them believe in the fantasy and making them want to be part of that fantasy.
Yeah. Whether it's 10 p.m. or 10 a.m., it's the same people. It's like the same people, whether they're 10 months old or 60.
Exactly.
You know, it's the same thing. It's just like, you know, a different place, but it's also the same place too.
It's also the same place. It's like people are screaming, people are mm-hmm. talking back at you, people are talking to each other and not giving two shits.
Right.
But although the kids, I mean, I should probably give the kids more credit, because I think the actual kids do tune in a little bit.
I think the kids
sometimes.
Are paying more attention.
Because they're not cruising. They're not whatever.
Yeah, the kids are probably more, they're way more well behaved, you know?
You'd be surprised. I mean, some of them are well behaved. And when they're not, it's cute. It's like, you know, they go up and immediately touch your hair or like stroke your dress in a way that would not be appropriate in another situation.
That's so cute.
Or they start, one of my friends talks about how she had a kid who started picking up all the sequins that fell off of her outfit.
And
she was like, is this a read though? That she's picking up all my sequins. And then all the kids were like going around picking them all up and handing them back to her.
Oh, I don't think that's a read. I think that's just really helpful. That's not a read.
No, it's true.
That's so cute.
The kids are helping. Yeah.
That's not a read. That's such a, it could be a read though.
Teach the children young that, you know, and a read is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a loving gesture.
A read in the reading room.
Side eye.
I mean, mm-hmm. that's like, we used to say that, you know, I mean, it is like kind of the prophecy coming through. It's like when we, you know, we would be in the club and we would be like reading somebody and we go, oh, are we in the library? Like, we would, now we have actually gone into
now
the
we
library.
Have actually gone into the library.
Which I think is really beautiful.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I hadn't been in libraries so much as an adult, and this is like one of the best things that gets me there.
It's the best thing. I mean, I love the library. Like, I think it's like the place. It is. When I was a kid, that was like the best place to be. And I mean, and now as an adult too, like, it's rare that I get to go. I love it. It's such a great place. Any
it
bookstore.
Really is. And totally. And like, librarians are some of the most rad people in the
so
world.
Rad.
Like, they're there to get you knowledge, protect your rights, like, make sure that Big Brother isn't spying on you. Like,
yes.
They're really down for the causes, and they're down to make sure that everyone has access to information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're incredible. And it's funny, some of the children's librarians that I've run into, they get a little chip on their shoulder. Maybe not a chip on their shoulder, but they get a little, they feel a little way about having someone as glamorous as I walk in and start taking over their story hours. But they're there every, you know, every weekend. Sometimes there's story hours every week with librarians who are just like holding it down and offering free programs for kids without having to pay or without having to do anything. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, they know like what's on, like, and they know what's up, right. And like they know, I mean, books are where everything is at. It's like mm-hmm. everything that can be known and should be known, and mm-hmm. you know, it's really so important, and all of our history and everything that's not out there. It's like people don't understand that the world didn't begin when Instagram was invented.
Right? A book? What?
Yeah.
What is this?
It's really great.
How do you touch it? How do you swipe it? Yeah.
It's really, really great. And it's really, there's so much to learn. And especially in queer history, too, there's so much for us to recognize and see. And there's so much of our history and secret history to learn between the lines too.
Totally. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously books are some of the oldest media, but they're also like truly some of the oldest queer media, right? Like that's mm-hmm. where you would go to find those subtle references to things that not everyone would get, but mm-hmm. as a queer person, you could decode it or,
yes,
you know, and because they weren't like flashy movie posters, people didn't get up in arms. I mean, people did get up in arms because they banned books left and right still. But
yeah,
I mean, that's because they know it has power.
Yeah. But what was your relationship to books as you grew up? I mean, what made you want to write?
I mean, I've always been a nerd, I guess. I loved books as a kid. I loved mm-hmm. reading as a kid. I was, you know, I would always do those, like our local library had those summer reading challenges where if you read 10 books over the summer, you win a keychain or whatever. And I would mm-hmm. like read them all in the first week. And yeah. So, I mean, I guess for me, it is just a way of connecting with kids on a different level and meeting them where they're at. Right. Like that's to me, what's so exciting about a book is that like, that's some of the first gifts that kids get are books. Like when they're born, it's like the Dr. Seuss books or fairy tales or these wonderful books. And I guess I just want to be part of that. Like, you know,
yeah.
Even before they're looking at the phone, even before they're watching Sesame Street, like I want them to see those drag queens swishing and shimmying and shaking.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's a great introduction to like to the world of it, you know, I mean, to meet it there. And it's such important things. I mean, I grew up in a bookstore in San Francisco. My parents owned a gay bookstore on Polk Street. In San Francisco. So it's such a strange thing. Like, you know, they own this bookstore called Paperback Traffic in the 70s. And so mm-hmm. we had Armistead Maupin, who wrote Tales of the City, who would do book signings at our bookstore. So he would launch Tales of the City editions from our store. And it was so intense because, you know, like all of the employees would like leave. They would meet up at our store and they would leave for Harvey Milk rallies, you know, in the 70s from the store. And when he was assassinated, they left for the candlelight vigil from the store. Mm-hmm. So it was a very intense time, like for gay politics and for like AIDS awareness, AIDS fundraising, AIDS activism, sort of queer nation stuff, all this kind of like early AIDS activism, you know, was like really like founded on
totally.
In and around bookstores, or like A Different Light was another one, which was like,
I was going to say,
yeah, very, very influential. So that was like a time where like a lot of queer activism was kind of born in gay bookstores and gay bars and also like drag bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point, because I mean, historically, there were so many great gay bookstores or progressive bookstores or feminist bookstores. And
yeah,
yeah, they really like they're not in place of the gay bars, but they're just another part of the queer ecosystem.
Yeah, it doesn't really exist as much anymore. I mean, I think nowadays all of that is definitely something that's non-existent. I mean, I think that there's a couple of gay bars. There's not as many lesbian bars. There's some drag bars, right. But there's like definitely fewer gay bookstores. My parents isn't around. The gay bookstore's not around anymore. I think a lot of the different lights are not around anymore. There's like very few.
There used to be that one in Philly, Giovanni's Room. I don't know if that's actually still
around. I don't
know. That was, I think, my first gay bookstore that I went to in college.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a very, very large, like, big bookstores are not gay necessarily, but they have like queer presences, like Powell's or like the Strand. But there's not, I love those, but there's not a sense of like that being like a queer place, like a different life.
Right. Right. Like that real community center.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just thinking back about like all those, all the like queer hippie poets, and it was, they were really like, I mean, I wasn't alive then, but from what I've read, like they were those centers of culture. Like that's where you went to connect to people. And even like all the like, you know, dyke open mics of the 90s and like,
oh, I love
just that literary culture. And I mean, drag queen stories were started by Michelle T. So like there literally is that direct connection.
Which is that's very cool. I mean, she's a friend of mine and she's like definitely like that's the direct like sister spit, like total like dyke 90s, you know, very like that's like right girl, you know, kind of like path, which is really cool.
Right.
And I love her writing. And I think that it's very much that radical feminism sort of like bent of, you know, coming out of the independent bookstores and from a place of like, it's a real literary tradition too. You know, it's really cool.
100%. Yeah.
She's so great.
Yeah. And for her to be able to just take that and then morph it into this thing that's for kids, but also still so queer and like,
yes,
so not watered down. I think that's what I love about Drag Queen Story Hour, is that like it still keeps me on my toes. Sometimes people are like, oh God, you've sold out, or like you're just, you know, bringing, assimilating queer culture into the mainstream. But I'm like, this is the right wing's fears, right? Is like that we're going directly to the children. And, you know, we can think a lot of different ways about that. And most of those folks are crazy, but like, it's beautiful. It's like,
it is
the next frontier in terms of being able to actually expose kids to queer culture in a way that is age appropriate, but like also really gets at the play of queer culture and the coloring outside the lines and the, you know, standing up to authority kind of things that is also so much part of kids' literature and kids' play. But like, we're just grownups doing it. And
it's
that's
really
what we wanted to do.
It's really political and it's really important. And I mean, that's what makes it so exciting. And it's also very fun, and it makes it fun for adults too, because then it's like, we're also taking care of our kids while still retaining a sense of autonomy over like where we would like to spend our time, you know, like we're not like having to do something that's totally outside of our realm of experience, where we can still like attend to the revolution ourselves by being with people who are like-minded, you know, and like we don't have to leave our tribe to educate our kids. Like we can still do, like, you know, like if it takes a village, we can stay in the same village, which I think is really powerful.
We can build our own village and we can welcome other people into that village, but like still keep our ideals and still,
which is so
be true
beautiful.
To who we are.
Yeah. And that's very, I mean, it's very Michelle. Like I think like, her writing has always been, something that I always look to. Like Valencia is like one of my favorite books, and, it's such a, you know, such a touchstone to like my, like years I lived in San Francisco and, known her, and I'm good friends with Clint Catalyst too. So those, their writing and, you know, people that I've known forever, like they always like remind me of like where I come from and my queer identity and all of that. So it's a great, you know, that's a great tradition to like have upheld.
Totally. Yeah. It really feels like, it's not the 21st century version of Sister Spit, because Sister Spit's already still doing that, but Yeah, it's just, it's the next generation.
Well, yeah, it's the
Generation Q.
The children.
The babies having babies. Yeah.
The children, the Muppet babies, the children of the children's, of the children. No, but it's the children of the revolution, which, you know, the mm-hmm. revolution has to keep on propagating because totally. That's the whole point.
Totally. And so many of the queer people who I know who have had kids are just like, yeah, they're like, what do we do now? Like, how do we stay in our community or like expose our kids to this without, I don't know, being stuck at some like Wiggles show? Or I don't even know if
I know.
The Wiggles are a real thing, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah.
Those kids things. Like,
yeah, they got to do. I mean, you got to do it. It's like, you have to grow and evolve and create things and, you know, create things for your kids to do. And I think it's perfect. It's so yeah. fun. So and then did you guys move to doing stuff like being able to do stuff online and yet?
Yes, we are all over the internet. We're doing probably like one or two a week right now. We're planning a big Pride celebration with all our chapters around the world.
Oh, that's
like
great.
Have a little We Are the World drag moment. But yeah, and I mean, part of that's great too, because like, even though we have chapters all over the country, there's still so many communities that don't have Drag Queen Story Hour. And they're always asking us, like, when are you going to come? And it's like, you know, we don't have some magic school bus that we can just, like, get in and drive to every city, which I wish we did. But we really work yeah. with people who want to set it up in their own community. So this is just one way, like, where for now anyone can really tune in. And I think that's wonderful.
Oh, well, I love it. Well, I love it. That sounds so beautiful. Well, I want people to be able to find you and tune in wherever they are. What are your handles so that people can check you out?
So you can find me at Lil Miss Hot Mess. It's L-I-L Miss Hot Mess. Or you can follow Drag Queen Story Hour, also at Drag Queen Story Hour on Instagram, or look for us on Facebook, or visit our website, dragqueenstoryhour.org, or visit my website, lilmisshotmess.com, and you can learn more about the book there, too.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we got to talk today. And thank you so much for your book. And I hope that we get to meet in person sometime really soon.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
The Margaret Cho is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Cho. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.